Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, David. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Gentry. Good to be here.
Our next guest, 3 decades in the White House. He helped President Nixon write his resignation letter. He's got an Ivy League education. I mean, I could go on and on about you, David, but you are America's last reasonable man, they tell me.
Oh, you're very kind, Gentry. I appreciate that. And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you invited me. Thank you.
He's got a new book out. It's called Hearts Touched with Fire, How Great Leaders Are Made. And I'm curious, which do you think attributed more to your leadership skills, your Ivy League education at Yale and, of course, Harvard Law, or your time as a member of the U.S. Navy?
Oh, that's a good question. I would have to tell you, I think that Yale did something very valuable to me, and for a lot of young men that went, I was one of the classes of men still, but I'm so glad we have women there too. But it gave you a sense of your responsibility in life, because you were fortunate enough to be coming to this great university, and you owed something for that, and you owed something to your country. So that a lot of the people who came out of those in those years and in the 60s, graduated those years, they went on to significant contributions to our civic life over time. But I thought Yale did a lot for that. As for leadership, it's hard to get too much of that in college, but I felt that being in military, especially in the Navy, with 50 young enlisted people under my charge just from the day I got on the ship, that was a terrific leadership experience. And it was a place where I made a lot of mistakes. But it's okay to make mistakes as long as you make them early in life.
Do you remember a decisive moment during your time at the White House where you saw the ultimate leadership in action? And maybe it wasn't a president, maybe it was a VP, maybe it was an aide, maybe it was a general. But those 3 decades in the White House, what was the time where you were wow, this guy or this woman can lead?
Yeah. Well, I felt that. Very much when there was a Reagan story, but I'll be brief. When Reagan dispatched and had a lot of 250 Marines to Lebanon to keep the peace there, and they built barracks outside of town near by the runway of the airport, and then terrorists came and blew up the whole barracks and the Marines. We lost about 250 people there, and somebody had to take responsibility. And so Reagan, as the defense, but he ordered up an investigation of what went wrong. He got a report back saying it was basically a lot of mistakes were made by generals, made by people lower down. And Reagan said, I'm not going to stand for this. Picked up the report, walked out in the Rose Garden and said, basically, we've got the report, but let me just say this. First and foremost, I'm the commander in chief. I'm the one who deserves the blame, not these generals. They were doing the best they could under the circumstances. I take the hit. Now, you rarely see something like that in the White House. It's all about, CYA. If you go back in history, as I learned, it's been done before by modern presidents. Jack Kennedy had the Bay of Pigs, and early in his presidency, it was an absolute catastrophe. There was widespread blame to go around, and he went out and said that victory has many fathers, but defeat is always an orphan, and I'm not going to let this be an orphan. I'm responsible. I'm the one. It was a commander in chief. It's my fault we had the Bay of Pigs. That kind of courage, but you know what? When the Gallup poll went into the field, they found that Kennedy's approval rating went up 10% because he took responsibility.
Hey, the leaders of today don't seem to do that too much. They're too worried.
It's always finger pointing. It's always somebody else did it.
And you mentioned President Reagan. I know you ended up learning a lot from him, but from what I understand, when he first walked in with the cowboy hat and the actor, and he didn't have the Ivy League education, you were not so sure about him in the beginning, right?
No, no. Well, I'd been in two campaigns against him. You know, I was working a lot for Jim Baker and Jerry Ford, and we had two. You know, Reagan tried to take the presidency away from Ford, and it was a close call. Reagan almost succeeded, but Ford held him off, and then Reagan eventually won after two campaigns, and he asked Jim Baker then the day after he won to come in and be his chief of staff, which I thought was not only magnanimous but smart, because here he was taking the top player from the other side into his ring, and that made a big difference. I think it really helped his presidency. So yes, I learned a hell of a lot about leadership from Reagan, positive leadership. At the same time, you know, you learn from people's mistakes too, and I also learned a lot from working with Nixon, because Nixon was the best strategist I'd ever met in public life, with possible exception of Henry Kissinger. But he understood that if you split apart China from Russia, you could divide and rule. And that's what they did, and it was a very smart thing to do, and it really helped us to win the Cold War. So Nixon, in my judgment, was the best strategist I've ever met in public life, save Nixon, save Kissinger. But he also had demons inside him that he had never learned to control, and they eventually did him in. You know, he was the author of his own collapse, his own scandal. He had to leave office. But when he was asked by David Frost in a TV interview, you know, what happened in Watergate? How did this ever happen? And Reagan said, I gave my enemies a sword, and then they ran me through. And that is actually what happened. He summarized it pretty well. But you learn early on, and when you're thinking about leadership, studying leadership, that you've got to, before you can lead others, you have to be able to lead yourself. Leadership starts from within. And it's a question of whether you have the self-awareness of who you are, what your strengths and weaknesses are, and then you have the capacity for self-mastery. You have the desire to self-mastery so that you can keep your emotions under control. And you can keep the dark side of all of us have dark sides. We have bright sides and we have dark sides. You've got to learn how to let your bright side, you know, control you. So that's an important part of leadership. Start from within, and once you get that down, you can do a much better job mobilizing others.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Our guest, David Gergen, he's penned a new book. It's called Hearts Touched with Fire, How Great Leaders Are Made. It's an invaluable guide for our leaders of the future. We talk a lot of sports around here, David. I know you grew up in North Carolina, throwing the old baseball around. Yeah. So in sports, you know, we like to crown athletes a GOAT, so, you know, greatest of all time. We say Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. When it comes to football, people will say Jordan, greatest of all time with basketball. Who is the GOAT of the presidency in your mind, in your opinion?
You mean who's the greatest president?
Of all time, yes, in your opinion.
Of all time? Oh, Lincoln, by some distance.
Not even close.
Historians generally say there are three great presidents, Washington, Lincoln, and Franklin Roosevelt. Of those three, I think Lincoln was the one who deserves the most credit. I mean, the Republic nearly came apart, and he was. I just went 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, to Gettysburg, to the battlefield, and walked the battlefield with James McPherson, who's a wonderful Princeton historian. And to see that again and to understand what Lincoln had, what he faced, and the degree, you know, the number of deaths and everything. It's just a remarkable story. It's an inspiring story. But it also shows the leadership is not easy. It is really, really hard. And only the tough survive.
What do you think about in politics? Maybe we do like sports and we start keeping stats on presidents. I think that would be kind of cool, you know, because then Lincoln, we could look up his stats. I think it would help kids maybe to get more engaged.
That's a good idea.
And if you ask, if you ask me, David, I feel like Joe Biden is batting under 200 this year, not an all-star for whatever reason. He's struggling at the plate. And it looks like inflation is hustling on him right now.
He's got to get this under better control than he is now, and he's got to have it's not clear what his strategy is. It's not clear what he's trying to achieve, either in Ukraine, but very importantly in the economy. And I know, you know, he wants to cut it back, but most Americans, when Biden comes out and says the blame is not here, the blame is over there, somewhere else, it's outside my White House, it's the Republicans or it's the Russians or whatever. He does himself no credit with that because people just simply don't buy it. And it's a message. I think his messaging has been one of his weakest links. You know, great leaders need to be able to connect. One of the things that's going on right now in Ukraine, and one of the reasons Zelensky has become such a fantastic leader, who could have imagined an entertainer doing this? But he connects with people. He talks to his country every night on television, and he gets his message out. And he's humble, but he's also tough. And he's tough on his allies about, you know, get us more weapons, get us more, you know, more help. We can't win this without more help. You have to admire him from afar, but he also shows that in times of adversity, great leaders often emerge. That's where great statesmen are often made in times of adversity. So there can be, Lincoln was a product of adversity. George Washington was a product of adversity. He'd lost the first 6 out of 8 battles that he fought with Americans during the early days of the Republic. And FDR, you know, had a lot of adversity in life. Polio struck him down, and he never walked again. So, you know, these tough times we're going through right now, there are heroes amongst us. We just have to release their energy and release their idealism. And I think the more they give back to community, the more we encourage them to spend time not trying to get to Washington so much as to trying to improve life in their own communities. That's when we're going to make some real progress.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Our guest right now, David Gergen, he advised former presidents Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford. He was in the Reagan White House, also worked with Bill Clinton. I want to mention Gerald Ford because he dealt with some adversity. Inflation was taking over his presidency. What was the strategy back then? Because you were in the White House with President Ford at that time. How did he combat? What was going on in the Situation Room? Give us an inside look, David. And not the, on the inside.
Look, the big issue came because of when the inflation started up. It really happened during the Carter years, and Carter appointed, I think, one of the best people that who's ever served in the last 50 years, Paul Volcker, to be Federal Reserve Chairman. And Volcker had the guts to say, "We've got to whip this inflation. It's getting, you know, up 10-20%." That's way too high, and it's gonna. And you know who it hurts most when inflation comes like that? It hurts people toward the bottom of the economic ladder because they simply can't afford most of the amenities in life. So it was really, really important that when Carter appointed Volcker, and then he was succeeded, you know, by Reagan, that Reagan reappointed Volcker. He this Democratic head of the Federal Reserve. Paul Volcker was reappointed by a Republican president to be to another term as head of the Fed. And then Reagan stood by Volcker and supported him the whole time when during the inflation fight. So early on in the presidency, when I was there, you know, Reagan's popularity almost collapsed. But he stuck by Volcker, and we broke the back of inflation, and we haven't had a real problem of inflation in the country since until recently. We had long years of very, very low interest rates, and that has helped the economy enormously. So Volcker did a great service, but Reagan paid for it. He lost his, the power of running the Congress in the midterms. He lost a huge number of seats his first midterms. But because he stuck it out with Volcker, you know, we solved the problem. And we've got to see, Biden has got to find some way to show that kind of courage and that kind of character. He's a man of high character, but the courage side and the messaging side need a lot of work.
You really are a journalist at heart. I know that you spent all this time in the White House as a speechwriter and aide to presidents, but you were writing for a newspaper. It was one of your first gigs. I'm curious, where has the leadership of mainstream media gotten it wrong? Because it seems like we don't trust them. Whether you're watching CNN or you're watching Fox News, I think the American people are to the point where we just want to know the facts and we want to know the truth. How do you feel about that?
I agree. And I think we need to get back to an old standard that the front page of the newspaper ought to be the news. And the opinion ought to be on the opinion page inside the newspaper, and we should separate out the two, so people get the facts, and they can begin to make up their own minds, and then they can read things that are opinion. But when you have the opinion woven into the facts, you don't know what you know. There's a sense you're being gamed, that people are trying to persuade you of some ideological position, sitting in a newspaper office. Or sitting in a TV production operation. So I think regaining the trust of the public is an essential part of getting out of the mess we're in. But the other part of it, let me just come back to this, because the book emphasizes this a lot. There are great hope for the future, the young emerging leaders of today, for our long-term future. The Generation X is out there waiting for their time at bat, and they deserve that. And in the short term, but in the long term, we also got to be getting the millennials and the Gen Z prepared for lives of service, prepared to serve others. Leadership is about serving others, and if you become a servant leader and you stick to your true north in terms of your values.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You've got a much better chance you'll succeed.
Talking with David Gergen, his new book, I highly recommend you go get it, Hearts Touched with Fire, How Great Leaders Are Made. I want to know, what was your happiest day of your 3 decades in the White House? When you look back on such an illustrious career, what do you think was the day that brought you most joy? Is there one specific moment you can remember?
My greatest joy in politics actually came working at a state level when I was younger and when I was in college and just coming out of college, going to law school. The civil rights movement had a major impact. I grew up in the South. On a dirt road in the South. I had a wonderful family that really helped me get through things. But I went to work for a governor named Terry Sanford, who was our Jack Kennedy of the time, very charismatic figure. And we were trying to keep racial unrest under control. And I went to work working on civil rights for Terry, and driving and serving as an advisor to a man who'd been a staunch segregationist, but had converted to becoming an integrationist. And we went around the state trying to appoint good neighbor councils in major cities, blacks sitting down with whites and trying to figure out how to create more jobs and create a better educational system, but also how to keep the peace. And we made a lot of progress on civil rights. My greatest satisfaction was working on something that you could put your hands on and you felt was important to the country. And it was like, it gave me a lot of satisfaction to see, you know, how much things changed. The young people, the young black people of that time deserve an awful lot of credit because they began to tear down the walls between the whites and the blacks in our state. But very, very importantly, those same the effort that went on there by the civil rights movement to tear down the walls between the South and the rest of the country, the South really began to boom as an economic power once we started getting rid of it, of this staunch segregation. So I always look back upon that, and I think that the lesson for me was you don't have to be in the White House to make a difference. You don't have to be there high-flying in these high-gluten things. You can accomplish great things right there in your own community, right there in your hometown. You know, whether it be working in a hospital or working in a library or working on with climate change, there are all sorts of things we need to have young people doing these days. And it's great preparation for becoming a leader over a long period of time.
And I know we're down to our final couple moments here with the legendary David Gergen, 3 decades in the White House, advisor to presidents and Ivy League education. So I'd like to get a little personal advice from you as a leader. I lead a crew here at the studio. You know, we make radio and make content. And sometimes I could use some of that Ivy League advice here. I'm busy trying to keep guys motivated. I'm trying to keep them engaged and productive, and it's a busy job. And that seems to take up so much time that I find sometimes I put my priorities on the back burner to where things that I need to get done personally, I don't because I'm so busy leading. Any advice for somebody that's too busy leading to take care of their own crap? You know what I'm saying, David?
Well, I understand. Maybe you need some help. Look, there are a lot of young people who are studying media in universities all across the country. They'd love to be able to come. You know, a bunch of them would be a lineup outside your door to come in and give you some help, and you wouldn't have to pay them much. And it's a good experience for them. When I was young, I got my start with local newspaper. I was a terrible athlete, and I thought I'd be an athlete, but it turned out for a whole lot of reasons it didn't work. But I became a sports journalist, and then started writing for the local newspaper and covered state and local. I had to write obituaries for a long period of time. But that experience was just invaluable to me at the ages of like 19, 20, 21.
So are you saying I need to go the Bill Clinton route and pick me up an intern or two? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Gergen?
No, please.
We'll end the interview on that one. Thank you very much, David. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Okay, take care.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.